on, now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynotes, all inviting you to...
Jimmy, it's awfully sweet of you to go to all that trouble just for Alma and me. You're a darling, you really are.
Oh, no.
I must give you a great big kiss. Up periscope.
No, Miss Whitfield, please. Release my moustache. Miss Whitfield, you mustn't. I am promised elsewhere, Miss Whitfield. No, Miss Whitfield, please. I shall get into trouble.
Hello, June. Have you Jimmy, you curl.
Bentley, you don't understand.
So this is the sort of contemptible behavior you try on with June Whitfield while I'm away trying it on with Alma Cogan.
Eventually, I was more behaved against than behaving. Miss Whitfield was merely showing her gratitude, and in such a novel way. I promised to remedy a trifling defect for her, if nothing.
You see, Dick, yeah. I've had a letter from a listener. He says he can't distinguish between the girls.
Well, I never have any difficulty. Girls are the ones who part their hair on the right.
Which means our two girls. Of course, I suppose it must be a bit tough on the listener, sitting there trying to sort out which is Alma, which is June, at the same time keeping an eye on the television set, just in case something worth looking at should turn up.
June, my dear, you girls don't want to upset yourselves about listeners' letters.
No?
Why, if a million listeners wrote and said they didn't like my singing, it wouldn't upset me. Did it, Jimmy?
Yes, but Dick, this is only my fourth show. You've been broadcasting for ages and ages and ages and ages.
Miss Whitfield, I would like to point out that I'm not nearly as old as people think I am.
You're not? Gad, the museum trustees have boobed again. Maybe see what happened. I told Miss Whitfield that we'd spend a few moments now identifying which young lady is which.
Oh, yes, we can do that. Listeners, make a note of this. June is the blonde one, and Alma is the dark one.
But Bentley, how do the listeners know that?
I just told them. Leave it to me. You can't whack an experienced radio man.
By golly, I'm going to roll up my script and try. Don't you realize, Bentley, all the listeners know of these young ladies is their voices.
But what about all that other lovely stuff?
They can't see their shapes. This is steam radio. If you could see Bentley, listeners, you'd know where the steam's coming from.
Dick, Jimmy suggested that Alma and I say a few lines and you'd identify us, would you?
Well, all right, but it's all very confusing. Miss Cogan, would you undulate onto the platform a moment, please, and say something?
Why, certainly. Hello, June.
That was Alma Cogan.
Hello, Alma.
That was June Whitfield.
How are you, June?
That was Alma Cogan.
I'm fine now, thanks, Alma, but I had a nasty time with the old trouble.
And that was Dick Bentley. You may sing now, Alma Duck.
Now, once upon a time, there was a great big forest. And in this forest, there was a little fir tree. A lonely little fir tree. And in the breeze, the other trees sigh with sympathy. Why was he sad and lonely? There was one reason only. Because he thought he was too short to be a Christmas tree. Then they cut him down for a house in town. And somebody dressed him in a gingham gown. The candles gleamed, and he thought he dreamed to hear the kiddies shout with glee, "Oh, look, our Christmas tree!" Then with the star they crowned him. The others danced around him. A Christmas tree at last was he, my happy little fir tree. He was so happy that his branches just shook with glee. My happy little fir tree.
It's Abby. absolutely sickening, sir. It's nothing but a subtle succession of senseless, ceaseless, spirit-sapping assaults on our social system. What's the outlook, sir? What's the outlook?
From where I'm standing, wet and windy. So why don't you go?
I will not be silent, sir. Those of you who read correspondence columns will recognize my sobriquet of disgusted of Tunbridge Wells. And every one of my words is aimed at you, sir.
Well, I can report that sobriquet was a direct hit. Really, Mr. Disgusted, it's hardly fair.
It's grossly unfair, sir. Answer me this. Why don't they make a noiseless breakfast cereal?
A noiseless?
Every breakfast time it's nothing but pop, crackle, snap, munch, crunch, pop, munch, crunch, munch, crunch. I tell you, sir, my head's bad enough at that hour of the morning without my family sounding like the Coldstream Guards marching up a cinder path.
Well, have a boiled egg, sir.
No, thank you. I've eaten already.
Oh.
And take malted milk drink. Now, why can't they make one that just gives you a good night's rest without it reshaping your whole career? Haven't you seen the malted milk advertisement, sir? I don't want promotion. In the ministry, I'd be conspicuous if I woke up anything but listless, irritable, and lackluster.
Well, make suggestion. Why don't you dilute the stuff? Do what I do. Mix it with the juice of a small bottle of scotch.
Well, now, answer me this, then.
Look, Mr. Disgusted, look, it's no good continually asking us to answer things. You want a man who makes his money out of answering questions.
Oh, are there such persons?
Certainly. I ran across one the other day. Would you like to meet him?
No, I certainly would, sir.
Well, if you would kindly allow my partner a few seconds in which to don a completely different voice, I'll bring him on. Ah, there he is. Now, Mr. Merriweather, would you like to tell us your profession?
Certainly, Mr. Lee. As a matter of fact, I'm a professional BBC quiz enterer.
What does that mean?
3 guineas plus train fares. Over the past few years, I've been victim in What's My Line, Name's the Same, Have a Go, Forces Quiz, Puzzle Corner, to name but several.
Oh. And you get a living out of that?
The answer to that is the loose yes. Of course, it's not the 3 guineas. Hmm? The profit is in the train fare.
Really?
I put in myself as having had to come from Aberdeen or County Sligo or Aberystwyth or something like that.
Where do you live?
Wandsworth. See, that way, anything over fourpence is dead bunts.
Yes. But how do you get into all these parlour games?
By planning ahead. As soon as I saw the news that What's My Line was coming back, I took a job as a Swan Upper's jersey maker's neckline finisher.
Well, what a good idea. They must have jumped at you.
Well, Gilbert Arden did, but the others was quite nice. I don't do all the shows myself. It's a family business. Mm. There's my wife, Agatha Christie.
Your wife is Agatha Christie? Surely, if you're married to such a distinguished...
Well, no, of course, that's only been her name since the Name's the Same come on, see. Oh, yeah. As soon as I heard the show, I bunged in depot papers, you see.
Yeah?
Not only for her,
no,
but for three of my children. Charlie Peace, Winifred Atwell, and Julius Caesar.
Which would you say pays off best of all the quiz programs?
Oh, undoubtedly Wilf. Oh, yes, Wilf every time.
Wilf, yes, I heard, yes.
I've finagled Grandmother on Have a Go from 8 different parts of the country so far, you know. She's very good on dialect, old Grandma, you know.
But isn't she likely to run out of embarrassing experiences soon?
Yes, that's why I'm working Auntie Gladys up as a replacement.
Yes.
You know, she's on with Wilf from an outpatient's ward in Barnet tonight.
Really?
I reckon we're a cert for 10, Bob, and even chance on a jackpot.
You missed it.
Oh, it's me. It's me. What? Agatha Christie.
Agatha Christie.
What do you think, Agatha?
Bert, I just heard Aunt Gladys from the outpatient's ward. Oh, Bert, we'll give her musical questions.
Oh, lummy, that's tore it.
Why?
Well, you see, Auntie Gladys is like you, Dick. She just can't seem to carry a tune. How much did she click for, Ag?
Only half a crown.
Only half a crown? Cool, lummy. It was only worth breaking her leg for.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now was Istanbul, not Constantinople, been a long time gone. Oh, Constantinople, still the Turkish delight on a moonlit night.
Every girl in Constantinople is
Istanbul, not Constantinople.
So if you were dating Constantinople,
we'll be waiting in Istanbul.
Even old New York was once New Amsterdam.
Why they changed it, we can't say.
People just liked it better that way. Take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Why did Constantinople get the works?
That's no one's business but the Turks. Take me back to Constantinople, no, you can't go back to Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Why did Constantinople get the works?
That's nobody's business but the Turks. That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
Tithe's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glums, an ordinary family facing up to contemporary problems. This week, they discuss the problem, is the cost of living index a coefficient of planned economic stability? Over to the Glums.
Well, how does this work out as a budget, Ron? If we ate at your mum's of a Saturday instead of my mum's of a Thursday, I could make the joint last till Wednesday, which would save the 6 and 3 I'd have spent at the fishmonger's being subbed from the holiday fund money that we were going to borrow from the pictures and rent money to save the coal and insurance money coming out of footwear and beer. Ron? Well?
That indelible pencil's made your tongue go all mauve. Look, Eth, don't get depressed, beloved. If we're a bit short 1 week, I can always get a job. Come, dear, put away your ready reckoner. Your Ron is calling you.
No, Ron, yes, not now. Yes, oh, yes, no, give over, Ron.
Oh.
You know how this crepe crushes.
Oh. Go on. Just a kiss, one of my butterfly specials. Come on, dears, come on.
No, Ron.
Hello, hello, hello. Still at it? That's the stuff. I shan't interrupt you, lovebirds. Ron, have you seen your mother's felt berry? I can't get me brown shoes up with a brush.
Now, don't go, Mr. Glum. We were just planning our budget.
Oh?
However we work it, Dad, we seem to have too much week left at the end of our money. Look, here's the figures Eth's worked out.
Show me. Oh, yes, all in into line ball, yes. Yes. 14 and 7, 3 and 6, 8 and 2, 3 and 9. And what's that? 3 and 9 weekly for a sundress? Really, Eth, your figure's hardly worth spending that amount of money on.
Oh, no, Mr. Glum, that's sundries.
I don't see down here where you're putting anything by for the future.
Dad, Eth and I aren't cautious old fogies like you and Mum.
Oh, thank you, I'm much surprised.
Mr. Glum, Ron and I are flaming youth. Bettered. A fig for the future. Let us drink life's brimming cup while we may.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you've been drinking, Eth, but you've got a tongue like a chow. Ron, Eth.
That's all very fine for now. But after you've been married a year or so, well, something else might enter your life.
Oh, Mr. Glum, please.
A little something that you'll find will change your whole mode of living.
Oh, yes, Dad, we're definitely going to have a television set.
Ron.
Yes, Dad?
It's high time we had that little chat I promised you.
Oh, yes, Dad. Yes.
How can I impress on you young fledglings the necessity of putting a bit by? Now, look at your mum, Ron. Ever since we've been married, every Friday, she's put half a crown away for herself in an old teapot. I only found out about it myself this evening. And as I gazed at it, I thought, what an example of thrift and devotion and sheer and... What's that, Mother? Only the one we have the tea in, Mother. Mother, that's a nasty, horrible accusation, and I'm deeply offended. I shall not stay in the house to listen to such talk. Here, give my coat over, Ron.
Here you are, Dad.
Careful, Ron. The other way up, Ron.
Eth?
Yes, Mr. Glam?
Give us a suck of your indelible pencil. I'm about to talk myself blue in the face.
Alma?
Yes, Dick?
Gather yourself around me.
Uh-huh.
This is the picture, as I see it.
Oh, yeah?
Just a bungalow for two, so right for each other.
We won't need a view, we'll see one another.
No glamour around us.
But aren't you glad we found this? Gee.
Lucky us.
So we haven't got a maid. Oh, there's no interfering.
When we pull the shade, who's seeing, who's hearing?
Two candles are glowing.
Our happiness is showing. Gee.
Lucky us.
If we had a million, me wife want a billion, and be uneasy on our throne.
But with love beside us, we're richer than Midas.
Meet the royal family, Joe. I'll come home from work at night.
We'll kiss in the doorway.
Eyes so shiny bright.
To welcome me your way. So happy.
So humble.
Too much in love to grumble.
Gee.
Lucky
us.
The rich pearly oysters cluster in cloisters. They live a life of darkened day.
You can't neck a checkbook, and gold is a cold look. Who can live in love in a bank? There'll be socks and things to mend.
I'll keep you in stitches.
Time is all we'll spend.
With us, time is riches.
So happy with all things.
Because we have the small things.
Lucky me.
Lucky me.
Lucky us.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please.
No, three, please.
Yes, yes.
Three.
Edwards. Edwards, they gave us skate again for supper. They know I like cod, you know. Well, why can't I have cod?
Eh? I like cod, you know.
There's a shortage, Your Grace.
Oh, really?
You see, the cod are continually moving their breeding grounds, which makes it very difficult for the trawler people.
Oh,
that's it, isn't it, Bentley?
Oh, yes, Your Grace. If you've got that in your head, you've got it in a nutshell.
Oh. Well, I'd like to hear the whole story.
And so you shall.
Thank you.
Bentley, swivel His Grace round so I get his good ear.
No.
Right. It was like this, Your Grace.
The scene is the head office of the Rowbottom fishing fleet Grimsby. A shamefaced trawler captain is facing an irate Sam Rowbottom.
Clutterbuck! For 14 flipping months you've had that trawler dashing up and down the Dogger. And what's the total catch? 2 sprats. And one of them dropped from a seagull's beak.
Sam, your tone is hurtful.
It's not like I didn't try.
Yeah.
I hung that hook of mine over the side for, ooh, it must have been nigh on 20 minutes.
Hook! Hook! You don't catch cod with a hook! What do you think I give you that net for?
Deck tennis, Sam.
Deck tennis, Clutterbuck!
Well, after you issued us with them quoits, I thought that
maybe... Quoits, Clutterbuck! Oh, they're life belts.
Well, Sam, I can't stay in an atmosphere of distrust. If you want to apologize, I shall be round at the Seaman's Mission.
Come back, Clutterbuck, come back. I'll not have anything like that. Oh, it's you, Mabel.
Dad, what's to do? I just passed old Clutterbuck it all and they were breaking into a trot. Are you having trouble with your poor old fleet?
Oh, Mabel. Mabel, I must tell you, I'm that worried.
Are you?
I'm that worried. Me boats can't find any cod.
Oh.
And that's what the public wants, Mabel. Lovely, frozen, tasteless cod. Pasted to the plate with parsley sauce.
Then find out where the cod have moved to.
Ow!
Here, Dad. Ask that young student who's lodging with us. He's a fish scientist, Dan.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Rowbottom. Have you some insulating tape? My electric eel has fused himself.
Oh, Mr. Posford, just the man. What were it you said you're studying to be?
An ichthyologist. One who studies the structure and formation of fish, their distribution, their habits.
I am, as it were, a sort of wet Ludwig Koch.
Hey, Dad.
I'm catching up.
I know it sounds odd, but, well, I love fish. Love them for what they are. Loyal and kind and decent. They're white all through. Except salmon, of course. To me...
Miss Rowbottom, a fish is a person, like you.
Mabel, close your mouth.
Here, Mr. Posford, ichthyologist, eh?
Yes.
If you know so much, happen you can help me. As you may know, or as you may not know, I own a fishing fleet of one trawler, the Saucy Godfrey Wynn. Now, Mr. Posford, answer me this. Where have all the cod moved to? Where are they?
Have you tried the sea?
Well, of course I've tried the sea.
Oh, then they've gone to warmer waters. Mr. Rowbottom, give me a diving suit and a trawler, and I'll find your cod.
Three weeks later, the Saucy Godfrey Wynn is hove to in the middle of the North Sea, and Sam Rowbottom is bent over his charts.
Avast behind! Avast behind!
That'll be enough of that, Mr. Bosun. All hands stand by for diving operations. Everything satisfactory, Mr. Posford?
Well, scientifically, yes. Personally, no.
What's up?
Miss Rowbottom, why does everybody call me Big Head?
Because you've got your diving helmet on, love. Now then, close your little window and I'll screw helmet round till it's watertight. There we are. There we go. There. Hey, Dad, is that right? Should he be looking over his shoulder like that?
Oh, you've given the helmet half a turn too many. Now, let's check communications. Put on your intercom, Mr. Posford.
I've had the one since September 1st.
Not your winter comms. Switch on your radio.
Hello, testing. I'll go down to 300 feet and stooge around a bit.
Right, now, Clutterbuck, get the air pump started.
All right.
Go on, pump some air into him.
Aye, aye.
Clutterbuck, don't pump so fast.
But he wants air, don't he?
Not as much as that. Look at him, he's floating above the mast. Lower him down.
Hello, Mr. Posford. Are you receiving me? Please report.
Hello, base ship. I'm going down now. Afraid I can't see very much. Everything is very black all round. However, below me, I can glimpse the most beautiful glowing red.
Hoik him up, he's down the funnel. Now look here, Clutterbuck. That's an ichthyologist you're playing with, not a yo-yo. Swing him over the rail and have done.
Right-o.
He's entered water, Dad. Everything all right, Mr. Posford?
Hello, base ship. I'm at 25 fathoms now. Everything's very green and inclined to be damp. I think I...
Oh, just a moment, please. I must blow my nose.
Don't take your hat off, Mr. Posford. Sniff! Oh, Mr. Posford, I asked you if you'd thought of everything before we closed up the suit.
I'm all right now. It was just... Wait a minute. What's this swimming towards me? Oh, get away. Get away, brute. Back, back. Oh, no, you don't. No, he's got me. He's got... No, no, take that. There. By Jove, that was a near thing.
What was it?
A Dover sole. The devil leapt on me back. I kicked it just for the hell of it. I say, spaceship, could you spare me a little more air?
Certainly, certainly. Clutterbuck, why have you stopped pumping?
Well, it's me break period. If I don't have it now, me sandwiches go curly.
It's exasperating. Hey, down there, Mr. Posford, could you cooperate by holding your breath a bit? I promise you I'll keep him to his strict 15 minutes.
I'll try. I say, there's the most fascinating assortment of fish life down here.
I do wish you could see this one. A lovely sort of exotic starfish. It's bright yellow, and it's floating down with its arms outstretched.
Yellow starfish? Clutterbuck.
Yes, Sam?
What did you do with your banana skin?
I took it overboard, Sam.
You'll have to go, Mabel. You'll have to go. It's no use mixing sentiment with business.
But what about Mr. Posford, Dad? Poor Mr. Posford has been
Hello.
Down there.
Hello, spaceship. I think I've just sighted a cod. Yes, there he is. Hey-ho! Yes, I'm running after him.
Easy, easy. Don't run so fast. You're pulling the ship sideways.
Oh, I see. There's another one. And another. Ah, this is the place, Mr. Rowbottom. Thousands of cod. Shoals of them.
Lower the nets. Get the nets down. They'll be frying tonight. Oh, Mabel, a record catch. Ooh. I'd say there was 840 crans there, if I knew what a cran was. And it'll all be bought by George. And if not by George, by one of his competitors.
And what about Mr. Posford, Dad?
He, I brought him up in first netful, Miss Mabel.
Oh, good. Aye. Dad, just look at them cod. Every fish a whopper.
Well, I told Clutterbuck if you found anything that's undersized, to chuck it overboard again.
Aye, we shall miss him, sadly.
We shall miss him. Clutterbuck.
Well, you told me to...
Come here, Clutterbuck.
I weighed him, Sam, I weighed him.
Come here, Clutterbuck.
To the augmented BBC Review Orchestra, bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the Keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week and take it.